Welcome to the Mindful Medicina Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanette Daniels. I'm a naturopathic medical doctor on a mission to inspire a renewed confidence in the intelligence of the human body. And joining the conversation today is my friend and colleague, Janelle Hartman, lymphatic and colon hydrotherapist, esteemed yoga teacher of teachers, and the co-producer of this show. When seeking the truth through logic, the premise matters most. If it's faulty from the start, we end up lost. In the case of what we will discuss today, millions have ended up dead. The industry of disease revolves around vaccines, which have been lauded as the saviors of civilization and quasi-religiously guarded from scrutiny, not only by those who have the most to gain from their proliferation, but also by deceived masses who have the most to lose. Our guest author of Vaccine Double Cross, Dr. A.J. Morris, directly asks in the opening of his book, are vaccines creating prosperity or poverty? Join us today as we sift through the dense propaganda, political corruption, and chilling eugenic agendas to revisit the premise and allow history to clearly answer that question. Dr. A.J. Morris is a decorated naval officer, having served as the Judge Advocate General of the Navy, which is the highest-ranking uniformed lawyer in the United States Department of the Navy. In this episode, Dr. Morris exposes the hidden history behind the U.S. vaccine program, chasing its origins to Rockefeller's controversial experiments during the World War I. Unveiling a legacy of misinformation, he challenges the accepted narrative of the Spanish flu and reveals how both viruses and vaccines are the means for furthering the agenda to decrease population. I think his dedication in his book says it all. This book is dedicated to those patriot physicians and parents who are standing against bureaucratic corporations and organizations that are destroying world populations and our children with vaccines. It mourns the millions of deaths from man-made, patented, diseased vaccines that do not defend us from any diseases, but instead give the diseases through the vaccines to the chosen public. Today, we have Dr. A.J. Morris here to give us some what I would refer to as intel on the history of vaccines. Dr. A.J. Morris, we're so excited to pick your brain today and dive into a hole that most people have no idea about. So thank you for joining us.
We'll make it lively.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to start off with a quote. Who, as in the World Health Organization, has acknowledged that every vaccine given is an infection by a new disease? Let's start with how you came upon the information you have dating back to 1903 and who you are.
I'm a former Navy JAG, Judge Advocate General. And I was on the investigation team of the Gulf of Tonkin incident that started the Vietnam War. Now, that's really where I got started.
Wow.
But by being a Navy JAG, when it was time for me to get out of the Navy, and that was after 1903, a big pharmacy company wanted me to come and work with them. They said, hey, we've got the biggest problem in the world because we're getting bootleg drugs into America and we can't stop it. That's the job of the FDA, and the FDA won't do it. Okay, so we've got to figure out a way to stop the bootleg drugs into America. So that's really kind of where I jumped in. But going back to earlier when I was doing research on John D. Rockefeller and his foundation, in 1898, George Simmons asked John D. Rockefeller if he would come into medical industry with George Simmons, because Simmons couldn't control the 1,500 hospitals that we had in America at that time. And he said, I need somebody who knows how to control them and reduce them. We've got to get them down to something that's manageable. Well, 1,500 down to about 140 today, maybe 145. That's a pretty good leap. That was pretty efficient of Rockefeller. But he did it with a very sly and clever use of money, because he had all the money in the world to do anything with. And so he just started going out. He and George Simmons would determine what universities or systems they wanted to save. And they immediately started saying all of George Simmons' friends. George Simmons was not a doctor. George Simmons, let me see, what did he ever do? Well, he gave natural birth to mothers in their homes. And that's the only thing he ever did that was realistic. And he was evidently a flamboyant leader, or he wouldn't have been able to have got into the position he did with all of the medical doctors across America. But the medical doctors were having a war at that time, because the minute that John D. Rockefeller got involved, the question was, who's going to be the king of the medical industry? Is it going to be the DOs that have been the kings of the medical industry forever in history? Or is it going to be the MDs, this new renegade organization that wants to claim every time we get somebody drunk and to make a big business out of writing prescriptions for drunkenness? That would be the medicine system that the MDs were going to use. Now, I know MDs don't like to hear that, but the MD pressures started in 1512. It was a long time ago. And when they got it started, it was because distilled alcohol had been discovered in 1225. And here we are up into 15 whatever, and they are trying to make distilled alcohol a treatment for all medicine. Because when somebody's stoned, they don't have any pain, and they don't know how to negotiate anything as a person as well. Okay, now that's a little further back than you asked me, but it's a little more colorful if I get back there, and we know that there's more to this. Because the Catholic Church discovered the distilled alcohol in 1225, and up until that time, all they ever had was fermentation was wine.
It was wine. The monks were making the wine in the monasteries.
Absolutely, and the wine is still the foundation of world medicine on the pyramids of food all over the world. Only America does not have wine in our food pyramid.
Wow.
Okay. And yet for everybody else, wine is the very top of the food pyramid. And that's because the wine is extremely nutritious. It is the most nutritious product that we have in our food chain. But because we went through Prohibition, we had a lot of people that said, oh, hey, and by the way, Prohibition was totally funded by John D. Rockefeller.
Of course.
Oh, wow.
And he bragged about it. Mm-hmm. So, well, you know, when somebody brags about something, that's as good as having the evidence before a judge. Okay, so by getting control of the medical industry, taking control of Prohibition, and I can tell you the details on that, but it doesn't get as lively.
Yeah, and we have a whole episode coming up. We're going to talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll put a pin in it.
Well, cool.
Resveratrol next, yeah.
Okay, so as Rockefeller got control of the medical industry in 1903, with the mission that he and George Simmons were going to start reducing the universities in America, and they did. They decided who they liked and who they didn't like, and they would go out there and close them down. And Rockefeller would give them a $50 million foundation grant. Didn't give them the money, mind you, just the grant. They can't go out and spend that grant but they can borrow against it. Well, that's how they created the false economies in the American economy in the first place, was creating the idea that this is yours to use, only you can't use it, you just get to borrow against it. And I taught economics for years at the university, so that's just a little bit more than where I intended to go here. But let me move that forward with Rockefeller Foundation, because that was 1903, and Rockefeller Foundation brought the eugenics program into America from Germany. And the eugenics program is the program where that they decided who was going to live and who wasn't going to live in Germany. And it was brought to America because Rockefeller married into the Rothschild family. And he had a big pharmacy here in America that he put together with all of his Standard Oil money. And George Simmons had told him when he came in, he said, "John, you won't believe it. This is the biggest gold mine in the world. And I'm going to give it to you if you step in here and help me." So that's how it got started. Mm-hmm. In 1903, he's brought in the eugenics program, but he doesn't have a place to use it right away, and he's got to get control of the medical system. And by the time he's moved up closer to the First World War, President Woodrow Wilson has agreed with John D. Rockefeller that, yeah, we need to start a biological program in the medicine, because the Germans are going to have biological weapons to use against us, and it's going to kill a lot of us and our people. Mm-hmm. So that was where they came from, and Woodrow Wilson said, "Okay, I'm turning everything in the medical industry over to you." Well, that was a good thing for the president and for Rockefeller, because when Rockefeller got the authority to have control over all the medical doctors in America, it was easier to close down the universities he didn't want. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where the power came from. And then Rockefeller realized, hey, back in George Washington's day, he gave vaccines to all of his troops. And vaccines make big money. For a handful of pennies, I can make $1 billion of profit. Mm-hmm. By making vaccines out of them. Okay, so that's why the vaccines became so important. Okay, so next he had to start creating the vaccines. Well, John D. Rockefeller, they didn't have but 12 viruses that anybody knew enough about to even try to make a vaccine. And one of them was rabies, that had been started way back in 65 or something like that, by Louis Pasteur. And the U.S. government, that was a major thing. When he created rabies in 1864 and brought them to the United States, well, here's the U.S. government excited about the idea of knowing how many dogs we've got in America. So by giving up, by requiring they all take rabies shots, he could count the dogs. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, I had a meeting with Max Harvey, and he was the one who was in charge of it for American Sign Language. And I had that meeting probably 20 years ago. And Max said, "AJ," he said, "we're going to sell off our rabies division." And I said, "Well, what are you going to do that for? There's nobody out there." He said, "The Italians are eating our lunch." He said, We get $2.50 per vaccine by the vets to give it to their people. And the Italians are coming in at $1.75. And he said, "We can't compete with that." Well, you know, you don't have to be much of a genius to figure out, with a tax deduction on several billion dollars, or maybe $100 billion, is a lot more profit to move a division forward than it is to just close it down and write it off in the taxes. So that's essentially what happened. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now Rockefeller has to figure out how to create these vaccines. They only had 12 potential vaccines, and he looked at them. He didn't like any of them, and he just killed all of them. But he started his own vaccine manufacturing system. And that system was to put together a special research laboratory and called it his vaccine research laboratory. And that was in, I think that's about 07 that he did that. And the reason I think that is because that's about when they got the first pandemic of one of his vaccines. And what and the way he created the vaccines, he started going around to the hospitals and every place he could go and collecting feces from people and animals and things like that and mixing them together. But especially he wanted all the animals and people that had sick feces. So he put the feces into the horses. Now, I don't know if you're, no, you're not old enough yet to even know, you sweet little old things. The vaccines that we got in the very beginning when when the states only had 9 vaccines per state, it was a contract with the between the HEW and all of the states. And when they had that contract, they were giving vaccines to the kids. And that's the ones I got, but they all were carried by horse plasma out of John D. Rockefeller's farm. Now these horses and his system for making plasmas that he put into the vaccines was to put the plasma, the diseased plasma, into the horse system because the horses are big enough they can carry diseases that are foreign to their bodies. Okay, because their body's going to kill everything just about that it can. Okay, but it didn't kill all of it. But that's how he created the first vaccines. And they came on into about 1910, and I'm not sure what the date is here on that. They had an epidemic of a certain kind of a diseased flu in the upper state New York, and it killed 7,000 people. That I believe was Rockefeller's first experiments of creating a disease, a virus. Mm-hmm. Now, I may be an error on that, but it was about that time in history, and that is where the first diseases came from, because his guy that put in the hospital or the research center to create the diseases became an internationally known guy, because before he turned around, he already had 25 diseases for the world. Mm-hmm. And this brought us up to World War I. And they go out and they're giving shots to the first World War I guys, and they give 14 shots to the first group that leaves out in upper in Northwest Kansas, Camp O'Reilly. And that starts the first use of giving the vaccines to the military. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now the reason that's important is back when George Washington vaccinated all of his troops, not all of them, but a bunch of them. He vaccinated with what was called a cowpox. Well, they just went out to an old cow that had some kind of a sore on her teat and scraped it off and would scrape that into somebody's wound on the arm. I got the shots. Everybody got the shots in my day. Mm-hmm. And some of them had 2 or 3. But if it didn't break out on your arm and become an infected whatever, they would give you another one. So that's how they created the first vaccine in America. And the background history on that, you probably already know. On King George, I believe it was, that paid a guy to General. Vaccinate his own son with this cowpox and show the king like a month later or something like that, look, my son doesn't have smallpox. I've just vaccinated with this cowpox, and he has survived it, and we can give it to all of our troops, and they will be healthy, and smallpox will not destroy our army. So the king gave him a big award and claimed that his son, who had been vaccinated with this, was the father of vaccines. Okay? Mm-hmm. But the kid died about 2 months later. Mm-hmm. They never told the king. The king had already given the father some kind of an award, a lot of money in that award. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember how much it was. But the kid died, and there's misrepresentation about what he died from. One of them was from tuberculosis, and the other one said that he died from the smallpox. But the kid still carries the name of father of vaccines, if you like that. Well, maybe he's not the father. Maybe Louis Pasteur got to be the father. No, I don't think they gave it to Louis. I think they gave it to this kid with the smallpox vaccine that made out of a cowpox. Okay, so then they turned around and they gave that smallpox vaccine to our first troops that went to World War I. Now, in World War I, America didn't go into the war right away. The war had been going on for 4 years before America decided to get in there and help anybody. But we were in the business of financing and funding both sides of the war. And when we got into the war, there was only 11 months left of the war. And I heard Donald Trump say in his early campaign that he was pretty sure that the reason the World War I ended was because of all the people it was killing that were Americans. And it did. Killed 150 million Americans with what was called Spanish flu. And Spanish flu was Rockefeller's vaccines.
And he was insulated. That was the other aspect, is that there was a monetary
Right.
fine for any kind of opposition to it. And this was also declared as martial law. So it was very connected to
Absolutely.
the war.
Good. Good girl. Yes, you're right on it. And it was $20 million to a company if the company made had some officer make statements about it that were opposed to the president's granting of authority to Rockefeller. And if an individual said something about it, like a single doctor, and they only had about 20 doctors, I believe, that went to prison for 20 years for saying something about it. But the general of the army came out and he said, "Hey, all of our guys are dying from the vaccines." And Rockefeller came out and said, "Oh, no, they're not. They're dying from a flu, and nobody has been able to find out what it is. And they've got to find out what it is before I'm going to let this thing ride." And it wasn't a flu, it was a bacteria. And that was the only difference. But it killed all of them. And not all of the 150 million actually died from the flu. They died from the contamination of the vaccines Rockefeller gave to all of the military that brought out other diseases the people had, in addition to the Spanish. They didn't have such a thing as a Spanish flu. It was just a conglomeration of a lot of viruses and bacterias that created all of this complex problem.
And then as evidence that nobody on the Allied side that did not get this vaccine was having any issues.
That's exactly right. Nobody. Amazing. Here they're claiming that they're defending our troops and they're killing our troops the whole time, and the president won't acknowledge it. And the general of the army says this is what's happening, and the president won't honor his word. And yet he really had the authority to do something about it, but he couldn't go up against the president and Rockefeller both with any authority. So they went ahead and they ran with it. And the Allied troops are the only ones that had any people die on their side. And Rockefeller at the end of the armistice that they created, and the armistice came up 3 years. No, the armistice was real soon after. Yeah, when America came in, 11 months after we came in, the armistice was declared, and all of the other nations said, "We want to get out of this thing," and the Allied troops were dying. They weren't on the bat. They didn't have enough people for the battlefields. Okay, so that's where Trump got his information that was right on. So that got us past World War I. It didn't get us past it, but it got us to the place where that we killed 150 million people with the Spanish flu.
And just to clarify, the Spanish flu was created, yes?
It was created from all of these horse virus, horse plasma vaccines that Rockefeller had created.
So the point,
and the first,
yes, the point is being that disease is created.
All diseases have been created. All the diseases we have been created now.
And patented.
Now then, they're patenting them. They didn't patent them in the beginning, but after the original school children got all their vaccines, they started patenting them. But by that time, they had the military biological weapons were being marketed and put into the vaccines of the kids. And today we have 38 viruses in the poliomyelitis vaccine. And out of those 38 viruses, we have every one of the military biological weapons put into it. But the most fearful one that they have in it is the last one that they came in, which was the swine flu. But, and I think it's even more fearful than that, was whenever they sterilized, they made the vaccine that sterilized the people in India. And they're putting that in all of our school children now.
I mean, everyone is being sterilized without knowing. And the other thing I find fascinating and really, I don't know if the word fascinating is the right word, but alarming is that disease, as we know it, as a doctor myself, when you look up an ICD-10 code and you're looking up for, let's say, Guillain-Barre, what you really have happening is a vaccine injury from swine flu, for example, the swine vaccine. So you have all these diseases, autoimmune and cancer, are actually not diseases, but symptoms of vaccine injury.
You're right. And that's why Jonas Salk, who created the first polio vaccine and discovered after about 4 or 5 years and was willing to admit to the Congress and to the national health systems, but every national health system belonged to Rockefeller. That was Rockefeller's original company, was the state health systems. And by that being the original company, he could run anything through the states that he wanted to. And he did. But whenever Jonas Salk saw that his original research using what Louis Pasteur had done to create virus vaccines, Jonas Salk created that and discovered it took him about 3 years to be firmly convinced that his vaccine was what was killing all the people and maiming them if it didn't kill them. A lot of injuries. Yeah. And all the state health departments were reporting it. So Jonas Salk was the first one to create a vaccine, a virus for us, actually create one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's where that the next one came out, swine flu, and Jonas Salk was fired. He wasn't fired, excuse me. He kept trying to get them to fire him, and they wouldn't do it, and they wouldn't let him off the hook, so that all the people that died from polio were dying from his vaccines.
What a personal hell that must have been.
Jeez. Oh. It was terrible because he came out and pleaded to every state around the United States just about to please stop using my vaccines. They're killing the people. Anyway, so that kind of got to the bottom of a lot of that real fast. But he was unable to go before the U.S. Congress and make his plea to the Congress in a big way until swine flu was discovered. And when swine flu was discovered, Dr. J. Anthony Morris, who was the chief virologist of the United States and the wisest, oldest virologist in the world. So here's Dr. J. Anthony Morris, and he came out and he told the U.S. Congress in 1983, he said, I have tested every vaccine that has ever been made in America, and not one of them works. And Jonas Salk stepped up and said, I'm proof that they don't work. Well, the U.S. Congress all listened to the arguments and looked at the research, and they said, yeah, your guys are right. They don't work. And so both of them were demanding that that the United States government get out of making vaccines. And the U.S. Congress agreed to get out. But in 1986, instead of the Congress getting out, they fell for the little ruse that the big pharmacy came in and told them about. I said, we will pay $250,000 for everybody that dies from our vaccines.
The Vaccine Compensation Act.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That a girl. Okay. Yep. So that's exactly right. And they took it to court in the very first court. They never prosecuted a single person with it. Mm-hmm. They tried to get it into the courts, and the big vaccine companies beat them before they ever got into the courts.
They set it up a losing game, basically, for anybody who'd really want to make those claims and carry it through.
You're right on. You guys are so sharp. You know, this is a good conversation.
Well,
all right.
The irony is that the same year they create the Vaccine Injury Compensation Act, they also started mixing vaccines, creating these hybrid vaccines in 1986. So you couldn't really put your finger on which vaccine was causing injury. And you have to be able to isolate that particular vaccine to get that $250,000. So,
amen.
Yeah.
So they created the AIDS. But now I want to back up a little bit with you, because I left out part of my personal history that was kind of important to getting us to where all my research was kind of cooked as I went along, and I learned what was going on around us in the vaccine world, and became knowledgeable enough to be knowledgeable about what was going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when I got out of the Navy, and I went to work with American Sign and Med Corporation. American Sign and Med Corporation was the largest animal industry, vaccine and biological products company in America. They were the giant elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. And I had friends on the board, and they asked me to come in and to help them to find all these guys that are bootlegging drugs into America. And we're going to have a big meeting with FDA somewhere down the road, and we're going to stop this and make FDA do their job. So I came in and started collecting all the information, and they would send me, every time I'd send anything into the corporate and they'd do the research on these drugs, I would get documents and on what they had found. And a lot of the documents didn't have 10% of the drug in it that it was supposed to, because these are third world companies manufacturing something that they don't know how to manufacture very well. So they were selling drugs in America just like that they were the best thing on the market. And after they did this about maybe 2 years, 1973, they American Sign and Med and Eli Lilly, Upjohn, Pfizer, Hess and Clark, all the big corporations got together, and they had a big meeting with FDA. It was kind of the knockdown, drag-out meeting in 1973. And as they had their meeting, they all got up and presented. They had research also. Everybody presented their research to FDA, and FDA listened to everybody very attentively. And when it was all over, they said, "Do you mean to tell us there's that many people coming into America and bootlegging drugs to our people? Well, we ought to tax them."
Oh, God. Ouch.
Yep.
That's exactly what they did. So instead of having something that the American drug companies could base their future history and the markets on, they decided they were going to do everything by a taxation system on all of these foreign drug companies. Well, that meant a whole bunch of things all of a sudden. Everybody that had patents on drugs in America, they weren't good for anything anymore. Anybody could violate the patents. They're overseas. They're not under control of the FDA or anybody in America. Wow. So not only are they violating the patents, they're manufacturing things even worse than they had before. And at the time it started, they had 42 drugs, and I used to have a copy of the American Feed Manufacturers booklet that they use to show what drugs mixtures that you can use to kill diseases in the animal feeds. And those drugs that they were using to kill diseases with are now over 5,000. So they've gone from 42 to 9,000 since 1970, or 5,000 since 1973. And the American companies looked at all that and they said, man, we'll never get out of this trap. So every one of the American companies decided to go overseas to a third world country that has cheap labor rates, because the cost of labor controls the cost of all products. You know that.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So every one of these American companies went overseas. Merck Sharp and Dohme went to East Germany. Pfizer went to China. Eli Lilly went to Italy. American Sign and Med Corporation is one I was with, went to the Caribbean down here. And they set up their own factories. Now, once they've set up their own factories, they're not controlled by what they can manufacture like they were had been before. So they started manufacturing all these different drugs. And on one set of machines, you can make maybe 20 drugs and put it on the market. But the one thing that was really important is the human drugs and the animal drugs come out of the exact same machines. You just change the color of the plastic. Okay. And we had gone for years charging an arm and a leg for human drugs and letting the agriculture industry get by a little bit. But after the big meeting, FDA went out and started telling the American people that that we have the most expensive drugs in the world right here in America. And so that's why all the drug companies had to go overseas and create new manufacturing systems. And that's where it is today. So the American drug companies are their own competitors.
Right.
But they can go and borrow anybody else's patented drug out there and put it in with theirs. And there's nothing they can do about it. Okay. So it has created a nightmare in drug control, but probably has allowed, it definitely has allowed a lot of these foreign companies to even do more damage than they were before. So that's not good for America. And if you had somebody doing tests and research on all of our drugs, the drugs require safety, tissue residue, and efficacy that they work on every drug. And we've got over 5,000 drugs out there, and that's not being done. But the worst problem is that the vaccines don't do any of it. Well, they come out and tell you they do, but they don't.
Yep.
So we don't have safety in the drugs. If we had safety in the drugs, we would not have the drug companies giving us the stuff that's killing people.
Well, that's the idea of a free market, too, is creating those checks and balances. And in 1986, they basically removed it from that whole industry. So it's like,
good.
Yeah.
Good girl.
Yeah, but I still don't see the point of, like, proving that a vaccine is safe when you're creating the virus to be damaging. We're creating disease to begin with, so it's kind of a moot point to prove a vaccine is safe or works. So I think it's
well, you're
just,
right on.
I mean,
you're
it's
right
just like
it.
The goal is to create disease, not to create something that we can inject or take a sugar pill, right?
Right. And who's testing them? That's the other question.
Now, let me tell you a little bit about how that happened. And this may be something that you're wanting to really divide up communications on at a later point. But in 1964, when I went into the Navy, and Admiral McDonnell, Chief of Naval Operations, came down to San Diego, where I was on board a destroyer. And there were about 300 of us naval officers came around, and he said, I want all of you to know what we're doing about getting into this little war. We've got two little countries having a fuss and a fight, and we want to stop all of that before it turns into a big fuss or fight. And so that was the goal of the United States of Navy. Well, that was in 64, and then in 74, Henry Kissinger, because because Nixon was in political trouble in Washington, D.C., and yet he got the most votes of anybody ever in history for somebody to be elected president before Donald Trump. But here Nixon was out of whack, and so Henry Kissinger was his chief secretary of state. And so Kissinger was negotiating things back and forth with the Rockefellers, and the Rockefellers were trying to get the eugenics plan to become the controlling plan of all vaccines in the world. And they put together a plan called the NSSM 200, and I'm sure you know what that is. And the NSSM 200 plan was a plan put together by Rockefeller Foundation to control all the nations of the world. And they were going to use American money, and they did. They used American money to go out there and create a deal for all of these foreign nations. And it said, and the deal was, all the foreign nations still had smallpox everywhere. So we're going to come in, and Rockefeller Foundation told them, said, we are going to become your heroes, and we're going to give you all the vaccines you need to kill smallpox in your country. But while he was telling them that, Henry Kissinger was making the backdoor agreement with them and saying, we will give you a preferred business deal to own a choice American company and run that company as a income producing part of your economy in your nation. Well, I don't know what companies. I never looked up who the companies were that Henry Kissinger gave them for doing this, but said, we're going to give you a company based on how effective you are at giving us a plan to reduce your population in your nation. And that's how they would control the world. And they started doing it. And the very first one that they went out to control the world with was AIDS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And AIDS, they gave 200 million shots. They killed 175 million of them in the very first shots, because AIDS was mixed in, laced into the virus that they were supposedly giving them to kill the smallpox. And they didn't kill any smallpox. In any of these promotions that they were doing, they never killed any of the smallpox. And they put together the plan that 45 or 47% of all the nations of the world, of the third world, I should say, which is most of the African nations, all the people, like we had when we were in Vietnam, we had 118 nations supporting what we were trying to do in Vietnam. And the reason we had all of them is because it started out at, South Vietnam is the rice bowl of the world. And because of that, they could get all kinds of militaries from different countries to come into South Vietnam, to North Vietnam, could get all kinds of people to come in and have plenty of food to fight a war. There was no requirement to produce food for these guys that are coming in to help you. So that made it easy for North Vietnam to come up with military exchange things that went on between China and Russia and all the different people that South Vietnam or North Vietnam made alliances with. But the American alliances were put together by the NATO agreement and the CETO agreement. And both of those two agreements, the NATO agreement was everything in the Atlantic, generally. The CETO agreement was everything in the Pacific, generally. And all these little nations all over those two worlds came together and they said, you bet, all their agreements were an agreement that the U.S. military and all these different militaries were going to come in and help them defend their nation. So here we are, we're sucked into helping South Vietnam. I shouldn't say sucked in. It was the right thing to do. And here we are trying to defend them and take care of all the things and uh, of getting this old French colony straightened out, because the French had been there with the colony, and they had milked the rice bowl of the world for years, got away with it, and they had finally got to be so much trouble for them to stay there that the French just pulled out. And the government collapsed, the military collapsed, everything collapsed. And somebody's got to come in and put the slack back together. And they did. But the people that put it all back together didn't end up winning because we won every battle that we got involved into. But that wasn't good enough, because we needed the things that the politicians were involved in as well, in order to make that thing turn out right. Okay, so where do I go from there?
Well, I
Back
have
to
a
the
little...
AIDS.
Yeah. Well, there's two things I wanted to mention. First, I wanted to throw in a curveball, because I haven't heard you talk about in other interviews. No one's asked about, and I'm a Peace Corps, a returned Peace Corps volunteer. And
oh, bless your heart. And you were in the middle of a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, and I'm I went in 20 when was that 2003. Mm-hmm. And so that was Peace Corps was established in 1961 by JFK. And mm-hmm. So the reason I want to ask you this question is because I can see that in history we have used the military to test these drugs on and cause disease in them. And so my question to you was, how does the Peace Corps play into all of the agenda and the volunteers that go overseas and have to receive all of these vaccinations? What two questions. The goal of the Peace Corps, the real goal, if you know it, I don't know if you do. And number two.
I'm pretty familiar with it.
Yeah.
I've had several friends in the Peace Corps.
And then all the vaccines.
Yeah. And the thing that J. Anthony Morris and Jonas Salk told the U.S. Congress, you need to shut down all vaccines. That's the only way you can stop this. And you know where it went from there. Mm-hmm. So we're coming up with the very same decisions that are going to run back through Congress again. Now let me get back over to Peace Corps. Peace Corps should have never had to take all those vaccines, because it was just big pharma making money. And I'm trying to use the Peace Corps now to be the leadership and getting all these foreign kings to agree, yeah, you guys come out and we'll give you all the shots. We'll give you everything. Only they didn't give them anything except death. Mm-hmm. And the Peace Corps had stood in there to be the shining example for American goodwill.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly how I feel about it.
You're right on.
Yeah, when I was deciding on going into the Peace Corps, I had no idea about vaccine injuries and the danger of them. And so when I went in and they gave me Hep A, Hep B, rabies, and basically my health hasn't quite been the same since. And so that's when, and I was around 30 years old, and so... You know, of course, fast forward to COVID era and the pandemic, if you will, it was a no-brainer for me. Like, I'm not touching these drugs. You know, there's no way in HELL.
Yeah, you're going to be happy with a little bit of an answer for that in a minute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you had an experience. I mean, just even going back to the AIDS connected to the Hep B.
And then the question is this, mm-hmm. you know, because I don't know if you know who Dr. Judy Mikovits is, who worked along with Fauci during the HIV pandemic. She has recently said that basically all of these vaccines causes everyone to have HIV, like underlying HIV,
The HIV deaths have been running 5 million a year since they put out the original 200 million shots.
Yeah.
HIV and AIDS were given at the same time.
And just to clarify, the AIDS really is what people see is the Kaposi sarcoma, which is cancer. So it's important to note that vaccines cause cancer. In fact, many of them. So when we think of what a person with AIDS looks like, that's actually cancer.
Yeah.
Just to clarify.
Okay.
And Dr. Morris, right. I read in your book too, that it was actually like the Cancer Society with the military that it actually even created AIDS. So that was that, wasn't that Rockefeller is behind that, but it was actually a cancer society that actually was part of it.
Well, Rockefeller has control of the military on everything they have to do with medical. And that's why he could always do anything he wanted to with them, because that was part of the control that he was given in the beginning. By the way, that should have ended 6 months after all conflict in the war ended. The Constitution declares that at 6 months after the end of conflict, the martial law is terminated.
Yeah.
They did not terminate martial law after World War I. Okay, so we've been suffering because of it ever since. Let me go back to another little step that you didn't quite go over there, and it's not really what we want it to be at all. But the military guys, we have had. I saw the results some time ago. The only place you can go and get good results on what's really happening, what they're really killing, who they are, and what's happening, is to the World Health Organization. Because they're boasting of everything that they do. Like when they killed 300 million babies the very first year that they started the Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
300 million babies out of Planned Parenthood the very first year. And they boasted greatly about how successful they were.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but the military has been under the gun. And Obama was very aggressive, but Obama went into the military and he used the vaccines to force a lot of guys out of the military, but he also killed a lot of guys. And somewhere in the records I have looked at, almost 50% of the military guys were terminated.
Wow.
That is a lot.
You know, it's amazing how many...
I have become a little bit suspicious about some of the numbers I see, because I think that some of the numbers that I see when the World Health Organization comes out and says it, it's like when they came out with AIDS in the beginning. The very first thing they did in the very first year that they came out with AIDS, and that came out at the same time as Planned Parenthood,
mm-hmm.
because all of those plans were NSSM plans.
Mm-hmm.
And that started in 1974. And the original plans funded all of these different programs that were going to kill people. And that is a corporation inside America right now that Hope Kennedy shuts it down.
Yeah, same end of that.
Okay. And I think he will. I think he will be, he's going to be all over a bunch of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Already is. And I'm thrilled by that. And you guys, we have a lot more that we're going to end up being able to talk about, but we have had 10 years since Henry Kissinger started the NSSM 200 program. That started in 1974. Every year since 1974, we have had 5 million people killed by the HIV. 5 million a year. Now, how many years is that? You got your computer out there?
Yeah. Were they, my mother had HIV. My mom was a heroin addict and a prostitute. And so my mom seemed to be just fine until they started going into the methadone clinics and taking shots. And I'm wondering if HIV at the time during the 80s was actually spread through hepatitis B shots.
I can give a little background on that. When AIDS shots were given, HIV shots were given. And the first AIDS shots we've already discussed. But when they were given, the HIV was given at the same time, in the same program. And the HIV passed through the placenta of these moms, as you know.
Mm.
And that's part of where they get the 5 5 million deaths a year as a result of the HIV shots. Now, when the AIDS shots first came out, I don't know if you remember this, it was kind of humorous, and everybody joked about it in the beginning, kind of, because they came up with an airline pilot was the one who got tangled up with a green monkey over in Africa,
Oh,
and
that's
the two of them had
ridiculous.
a baby, and that baby started becoming babies for all the green monkeys.
Yeah.
And they were all being given, and they'd all create every one of them created AIDS. Well, after a little while, that they ran out of green monkeys, and it was hard to make people believe green monkeys anymore. So,
It's like a Wizard of Oz
like Dr.
scene.
Seuss weirdness.
Okay, you're going to read about that somewhere in your history. But Robert Gallo is the guy who created the AIDS, and he was the vice director of HEW, all AIDS created by the U.S. government dollar. And it was a military biological weapon. And for 3 years after he created it, nobody knew he had created it because it was hidden by intelligence. It was secret, top secret. So everybody came out and got the AIDS shots and the HIVs, and they thought that, man, and I was in industry out there with assignment in those days, and I remember reading in the Wall Street Journal about we need more people to come into these certain towns, New Orleans, San Francisco, all these different cities. We need more people to come in and to volunteer to get the shots for research. We'll give you the shots for free. Okay, so that's how it got started. And when they started the free shots, they were no longer having to gendarme anybody to get them into get the shots, but they were able to get the AIDS people in because the AIDS was beginning to show up. And once the AIDS started showing up, Robert Gallo came up with the idea, hey, we can just tell all the people out there that they're going to get the AIDS if they don't get the shots. And all the churches are going to be behind this thing of getting rid of the AIDS. And so that was supposed to be the program to get rid of AIDS, was by giving all the shots.
Yeah,
And anyway,
I
that
think
was
because the populations they were targeting to test this on were risque groups, being
yes.
exposed to dirty blood, if you will, with the gay men in New York, and then the drug users, needle users. And so my thought was that they were convincing these two at-risk groups to come in and get hepatitis B shots because they were more exposed to dirty blood, and that's how they were selling these shots was, hey, you're going to be contaminated with dirty blood. So take,
That was just that was one of the methods for sure. But they had the hepatitis B was the last hepatitis to come on. They had ABC or A, C, D, E, and F or D and E hepatitis vaccines that they were given to the people before they came out with B. B killed almost as many people as AIDS did
Jesus.
because what they ended up having to do was they had to, because those were military biological weapons that they were creating and they were being done in secrecy, they went to California. And because one of the things that a biological weapon has to do, and by the way, the biological weapons were not the dreams of any of the military people I knew ever.
I wouldn't
And they
think
were
so.
all curses. And that's the way the military guys thought of them. But when Obama came in, he made them to take the shots, and they had about, well, the reports were that about half of the military guys that took the shots ended up dying from
How is it that all the people that get the Nobel Peace Prize have the biggest death counts?
Yeah, exactly.
What's that about?
Well, it's politics, and that's purely what it is. Because I remember whenever if you invented something like the nuclear bomb, you got a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah,
That's
exactly.
right.
So anyway, that was kind of the AIDS The AIDS was the beginning of putting it into the children's vaccines.
Oh, and
And
the hepatitis B, when they first come on, I mean they're
was
trying to
worse than
get,
AIDS when it came out.
and they want these
But
babies coming out,
yeah.
in the first freaking hour to have
Yeah.
these shots.
Yeah. And whenever they first came out with this, the AIDS people wanted to make sure they reached everybody that they could reach out here. And boy, they pretty much did it, but they got I was mentioning the Obama administration and the military. Obama sacked a lot of the military officers. I don't know if you've read about all of that, but it's available out there somewhere. And they, instead of taking the shots, the officers resigned from the military, senior officers. Okay, well, the junior officers didn't get the option to just resign. And so a lot of them got murdered instead. And by the way, all the murder that they've done on this is racketeering murder. I'm an ex-Navy JAG. I tell you, that's the crime. And it's a treasonous crime. So the only penalty that is legal for it is death.
It's death. Wow.
That's right.
Okay. Anyway, I have run you girls down the path a little bit here. Are we doing okay on our thinking?
Yes. I had a, I don't know if this is if my thinking is correct here. What, swinging back to the Peace Corps, because you had mentioned something about like spreading it long and wide, right? So how can you inject with as many with inject as many people as you can? And I thought, oh, this would be easy to do through water systems, right? And so how involved were the Peace Corps with their original efforts setting up clean water and ways to access these indigenous people? What is there any sort of alternative, ulterior motive?
I know, and you know that whenever they started out in the beginning, clean water was a great, I mean, it was a lifesaver for all the African towns and cities, countrysides. But by the time that they realized that the United States was killing them with the vaccines, I think that's whenever the guys who were running the countries came out and started filling in the water pumps.
That's a good
And
thing.
there were a lot of the AIDS projects that were just filled in. And we've had those things happen in America. I mean, if you have a water well from your old family farm out here and you're not using it, FDA has the authority to come in and close it up, fill it in. And that's what they were doing in Africa at that time. And I don't know if it was justifiable. And I know it's just about that time, and I don't know for sure it was that time, but it was really close. That program was a really good program when it got started.
Yeah, I think the initial, I think JFK's heart was in a good place and head, his motives were in a good place. But yeah, I think that like anything, you could take advantage of a system that is altruistic, and use it for something nefarious. And I really wanted to dig into the Peace Corps just for a little bit today, just because nobody really talks about it. And then especially coming off of that with vaccine injuries, and feeling that both groups, the military and the Peace Corps, are great subjects for trying these drugs on.
They are, and there's no way the military can really defend themselves in it. We've got to go back to all of the companies that Rockefeller Foundation built with the American dollar, and they are medical organizations like HEW is a Rockefeller Foundation company, Center for Disease Control, Health Control, EPA, FDA, all these, World Health Organization. Those are all Rockefeller companies. And that's the reason that whenever they came up and they said, oh, this ivermectin, should never use it. And you go down through six guys that are Rockefeller Foundation CEOs or directors, excuse me, or presidents. And every one of them says the same thing.
Yep.
That's why they all said the
It's
same
all
thing.
lockstep. Yep.
They are Rockefeller Foundation presidents. And the only way we can get rid of those guys, I think, is to get Robert Kennedy to come out and slowly but surely go one at a time, not make any bigger splash than he needs to, but make the big enough that it works, and go in and take the Department of Health, tear the whole Department of Health apart, and put it back together as a state-run organization, if you would. Every one of the centers for our disease control offices, tear them down and give them to the Department of Agriculture to run divisions in, or something like that. And make them agencies. Make agencies out of everything that's a Rockefeller company, because Rockefeller's sitting over there in Switzerland, and he's made everything into a nightmare for the world, because he's going to make a god pretty soon, because empires have gods. They don't just have little kings or little leaders running around. So that god business is a big deal, and I'm hoping that the world militaries finally get organized around this.
Yeah,
Anyway,
we agree completely. And yeah, we definitely wanted to have you on today to talk about the history of this, because we really want people, for the most part, to actually have some information that they're not going to have access to, so they can make more informed decisions, because there's no transparency, on drugs in general. And it's how can you decide how to manage your well-being if you're being sold a lie, and it's being pushed through fear porn, if you will. So, we just want people to know there's a history here with these shots, and they're not created for disease management, but for the creation of disease. That is the take home.
That's the important thing, is we know 1974 is the time when they changed everything. Up until 74, they were still working on this system that Admiral McDonald told us they were working on. But by 74, they're in the business of killing people and trying to look like a killer, like the big leader of the world. And what are they doing? They're out there, they're killing people, and that makes them the gigantic world killers. And that's an empire. And they don't have to make excuses to anybody for doing it.
No, and there's been no accountability. I mean, we watch them just prance away every time.
Okay. You guys, I'm proud of you. Proud of what you're doing.
We'll talk to you again, and explore some other conversations, be it resveratrol
Okay.
and
That's a
pH
really
with
good
you.
one.
Yeah.
Kills every disease.
Yeah,
Excellent.
so those two conversations are next on the docket, and
Oh.
yeah, that's it for today.
All
Well,
right.
bless you, darling.
Bye-bye.
We hope this conversation has empowered you. Remember, you are unique and you are a miracle. Your body doesn't make mistakes. It responds perfectly to an imperfect environment. Until next time, go get that life.